the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
Both Jews and Islamics are looking for their Messiah. Ask a Jew, well, how will you know it's him? Check out the websites, kabod.org and askmoses.com, where you get a chance to literally live chat with a rabbi. What are you looking for your Messiah to come? Easy, they say. He will make peace in the region, and he will build our temple. And some of the most conservative of the rabbis and teachers, when they say, is it possible to build the temple next to the Dome of the Rock? And even the hardened conservatives say no, because they don't really know where the actual bedrock is that Abraham offered Isaac on, and the same rock that God instructs Moses under Joshua and following to put the Ark of the Covenant. So they say, we don't know, but they always have this caveat. But if Messiah shows up and he says, build it here, we're okay with that. And as you know, in Islamic end times understanding, they're waiting for the last Mahdi, the 12th Imam. Do they believe that it is close? Oh, yes. Who is the most staunch supporter? That's Khomeini, the leader of Iran. I thought President, what's his name was? Well, in form, I suppose, but who really runs that country? Khomeini does. And how do they believe it's going to happen? Jihad. They have to thrust the world into worldwide jihad that will force the Mahdi to arrive, and he will banish all of the non-Muslims. Do you see how Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are all looking for the soon return of their last day's person? Are there any signs to that effect? I believe atonement is Revelation 19, because what does Jesus do? He performs what the high priest had been doing for 1,500 years, cleansing the temple that had been erected by the Antichrist himself. Well, then what about tabernacles on the 15th? That's the Feast of Booths, where all the Jews are instructed, make sure you make a little lean-to, a little booth of some kind in your backyard. And you have to thatch the roof in such a way that you're able to see through to the stars. And what does it commemorate for the Jew? It commemorates the 40-year sojourn in the desert under Moses. Does it have any prophetic implications? I believe it does. It speaks of the 1,000-year reign of Messiah. That's the kingdom of Messiah that the 12 disciples thought that Jesus was going to pull off in a matter of moments or days. Do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus is glowing from the inside out? That's probably, in my opinion and the opinion of many, a little slice of somehow the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were literally taken ahead into the future for just a moment. And they glimpsed Jesus, and who's standing next to Jesus? Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. Peter goes, whoa, that's good for us to be here, Lord. Let us build 3 booths. Arnold Fruchtenbaum made that come alive finally when he said years ago, you know what Peter was doing? He wasn't just nervous babbling, let's build a tent here. He was saying, it must be the tabernacles of God, the millennial reign of Messiah on earth. Well, almost, Peter, that day's still coming. With that in mind, let's look at it. This feast season begins in Nisan on the 14th, Passover. And roughly 6.5 or so months later, it ends with tabernacles. Now watch this. A lunar tetrad is a set of 4 total lunar eclipses that happen within a 2-year period. What's the odds of that? since the time of Christ, there have been 87 tetrads, 87 full lunar eclipses within a 2-year period. What is the frequency of a tetrad landing exactly on the first one, Passover, and then the last one, Tabernacles? And because a tetrad is 4 in the same 2-year period, and do it again the very next season. Passover, Tabernacles, and then the very next year, Passover and Tabernacles. 87 tetrads in all. How many tetrads have landed on these Jewish feasts? Take a guess. 7. We are in the midst of a tetrad right now. Guess what number it is? We're not done. In fact, go ahead and hit our go button. Here it is illustrated. April 15th, there was a blood moon. And then at the end of that feast season, that very same year, October the 8th, there was another one. And then earlier this year, on April 4th, there was another blood moon. Full lunar eclipse. And there will be another one September the 28th. That's not all. You know what else happened? Hit the go button. Nisan 1, you guys, is the first of the ceremonial Jewish year. The first day of the civil year is Rosh Hashanah, which has already started in Jerusalem and will start with us sundown tonight. Rosh Hashanah. Today we are in Elul 29, the last day of the last month. By the way, remember this is a Shemitah year. So in this Shemitah year, you're supposed to rest and reflect and realize that everything I am, everything I have, comes from the gracious mercy of a God who loves me like crazy. We did a taping back in April here, and we called it America and the Shemitah. It's available online. And taking a cue from Jonathan Kahn, who has done some amazing, if not startling, research, that the Shemitah cycle, although in Israel is very important and significant, that the Shemitah cycle in America has had some interesting timings. In the years of the Shemitah rest, the seventh year of rest, when you're supposed to be reflecting what God is doing, Jonathan Kahn took us through, in the case of New York and some other cities, but New York specifically, those were the times that we crowned, or either broke ground or finished, some of our biggest towers. Towers are interesting. In the history of humans, towers are sort of an archaeological achievement, but it's sort of mankind kind of sticking his chest out and saying, look at our tower. Remember when Nimrod goes south and then his followers? God said, go out and multiply and fill the earth. Nimrod says, no, his name means I will rebel. He gathers everybody together in a city by the name of Babylon. Jerusalem is God's city. The anti-city, if there's such a word, is Babylon. Check it out. It's a fascinating study. He founds and builds Babylon. What's Babylon noted most for, everybody? A tower. Jonathan Kahn did a startling job in showing that in the case of world trade, when after World War II, all of our guys got together, the bankers and some of the bankers from Europe, and realized we are now in the seat, the centroid of financial, military, and political power rests with us in the United States. So they got together in New Hampshire. It was there that they began to put together the banking system that you and I are now somewhat familiar with. The reserve currency would be the U.S. dollar, among some other things. And so for this whole idea, yay, look at what we did. A Shemitah year. Many years later, then when we said, let's get the World Trade Center centered in America, in America's mightiest city, New York, and they planned and passed on a Shemitah. They broke ground for the World Trade Center on a Shemitah. They finished and ribbon cutting all those 7 years later on a Shemitah. And the towers went down September 11th, 2001 on a Shemitah. A Shemitah is to say, Lord, you are in control. I am your humble servant. A tower is man sort of poking his chest out and saying, look at us. There was a full solar eclipse on the 1st of Nisan this year in the midst of this tetrad. By the way, remember I said there are seven tetrads? How many of these seven tetrads happen or conclude in a Shemitah year? This one. And also too, trumpets today, there is a partial solar eclipse. The first three tetrads after Jesus don't appear or don't apparently have any significance either. Of course, America is not that old, but even with Israel, my hunch is it will, once the research comes out, or on the other side of glory, when our minds are expanded, we'll go, oh. But it's not apparently connected to anything. It's these last four that are significant. Let's go back to 1492. There was a tetrad on these feasts. What was going on in 1492, you guys? That's King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain. We remember that they funded a young Italian kid by the name of Christopher Columbus. Most of us forgot that was also the date of what's called the Edict of Expulsion. Jews had 14 days to either convert to Catholicism, leave, or die. Is that a bad day, you guys? Many Jews feigned a conversion and took on Spanish and Catholic names. And some of those were tremendous scientists. And of those former Jewish, now converted Jews, many of them supplied the instruments of navigation that would allow Columbus to sail over the horizon. And many of the other Jews pooled resources to fund Christopher Columbus as well. You're like, come on, that didn't happen. Oh, check out your history. I recommend for your reading The Light and the Glory by C. Peter Marshall. And he dug in and found out that this young Italian kid was also Jewish. Why was he going across the ocean? Well, to find trade routes to India. That's what we learned in sixth grade. Read his materials. Read his own words. Light Bearer is his name. He was going to find and to found a nation of religious freedom, specifically for Jews and Christians. Many Jews feigned Catholic conversion, and their brightest scientific minds and pooled finances, they went to fund and aid a young Jewish Italian, Christopher Columbus. At that time, God turns on four warning lights. Take your hands off of my people. What happens when you come against God's people? What does Genesis 12, 6 say? Oh, I will bless those, Abraham. I will bless those that bless you. And I will curse those that curse you. Did Spain, as it were, come against Israel? They issued the Edict of Expulsion, and the rest of Europe, more or less, got on board. Remember the great Spanish Armada? Do you guys remember that? Did you know that within 100 years after this fateful edict, the awesome Spanish naval and political power diminished at the Battle of Gravelines, 1588. And Spain never rose to the same place of prominence again. A hugely significant shift in the diaspora. Remember, in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the city and the Jews fled all over all the world. That was prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because of Christopher Columbus opening up the new world, even though there were trials and tribulations, by the time the Second World War is rolling around, and by the time Hitler is rising with his awful, maniacal, devilish plan to exterminate 6 million Jews, most of the Jews on the planet were living where, everybody? Right here. Do you see? The four lights, it was a season. It was a season, a tough, dark, and threatening time, but God used it to open the door for Jewish expansion. The next tetrad on the Jewish calendar, on these feasts, 1948, actually just a little bit past. Jews were reeling in 1948 from the 6 million of their own murdered. The UN, of course, in 1948 did what? Declared Israel a sovereign nation. But a whole bunch of people were like saying, "We don't think we buy it." You heard me tell the story of then President Truman. All of his aides were saying, "Don't recognize this upstart nation. It's only trouble. The whole Bellflower debacle. Don't get involved with it. Please, Mr. President, this is an anvil that has dulled the blade of many more sabers than you, sir." And from his memoirs, he disappears for 3 days. We didn't know where until his memoirs were published. What did he do for those 3 days? He read his Bible. He was most moved by Isaiah chapter 44 and 45. When 150 years before King Cyrus, the great Persian, was ever born, God says, "Cyrus, check it out. It's in your Bible. Cyrus, I have called you by name so that you will know when you take the city of Babylon," and then in chapter 45, shows his battle plan. Daniel, remember, when Cyrus overtakes the Babylonians and with great pomp and circumstance enters the city, he's met by rickety old Daniel, who shows him the Isaiah scroll and points to his name in there. "That's you, dude. Cyrus, where'd you get that?" "Oh, it was from a prophet." "How long ago?" "150 years before you were born, oh great king." "No way." Daniel's all, "Way, it's right there, right there." Cyrus is so amazed, he issues his decree, and that was the 70th year of the Babylonian captivity, and the Jews could get to go home. Harry S. Truman was floored by that description. Knowing his Bible, oh, do the history, loved one, and read his letters, and from his own correspondence, his deep devotion to God and his word. And he felt that God spoke to his heart and said, "You, Mr. Truman, my son, you are the Cyrus of this day." He emerged from that 3 days. He recognized the sovereignty and the viability and the right of Israel to exist. And because of the U.S., then the rest of the international community came on board. 1948, there were 4 warning lights then. God turned on 4 warning lights. Miraculously, there was no standing army. Who came against Israel? Egypt, Transjordan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and soldiers and supplies came flooding in from Yemen, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Pakistan. And they all hit Israel practically the day they said, "We are a state." No standing army. There's no way they're going to repulse this flood of enemies yelling for their extinction. But did they? And there were 4 warning lights in the sky. To Europe and Asia, Africa and the Arab world, is it God saying, "Take your hands off my people"? And though a time dark and threatening, God used 1948 to open the door. And what happened? Jews became a nation, and now we're in the land. The next one, 1967, you remember that one? Israel, knowing that an imminent attack was about to launch from Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon, with weapons and soldiers and supplies from Algeria, Kuwait, Libya, Morocco, Pakistan, the PLO, Saudi Arabia, the Sudan, and Tunisia, they launched a preemptive strike and destroyed the Egyptian and Syrian Air Force on the ground hours before they were going to take off. And they credit the craft of the Mossad, the Israel equivalent to our CIA. To be sure, those are brave men and women. But you and I both know it goes deeper than that. Who really saved Israel that day? And there were 4 warning lights in the sky. The plan was Egypt attacks from the south. Syria comes across the Golan Heights, attacks from the north, would draw Israel's meager forces apart, and then here was Jordan going to slice right through the middle. 146 tanks were available to repulse 3,000 Syrian tanks on the Golan. Does that sound like good odds to you? And yet they prevailed. God turned on 4 warning lights. The whole Islamic world, he was saying, take your hands off my people. And though a time of dark and threatening, God used it to open to the door. And you know what happened? They expand across the Sinai, into Gaza, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. And now the world is coming to bear against them. You better give that land up. And now number 7, 2014 and 15, if you will. Is Israel again surrounded by Islamic, not just radicals, but the apocalyptic? They're not just radical. They don't necessarily want land and title. What they want is their Mahdi to show up. That's Khomeini. Today, is it safe to say that they are surrounded, Israel once again surrounded by Islamic states breathing daily threats to their extinction? Let's review real quickly. April in 2014, the first lunar eclipse. Let's see what was going on. In March, the World Health Organization reported a major Ebola outbreak in Guinea in Western Africa. Do you remember that? As of September of this year, 28,171 suspected cases and 11,306 deaths have been reported. Do you remember how frightened everybody was? Closing down the airports? Personal opinion, certainly thank you to the training and technique and the passion of trained medical personnel. Thank you very much. But in my personal opinion, by the grace of God, did that stop? May 2014, a two-state solution to try to divide Israel in half, give half to the Palestinians, with Eastern Jerusalem being their capital. The two-state solution talks break down with the kidnap and murder of three Jewish teens and the discovery of tunnels of death, quote-unquote, into Israel from Gaza. Do you remember that? June 29th of 2014, a little group called ISIS declares its caliphate. That's within this time. July 2014, Operation Protective Eagle. That was when Israel had to go into Gaza to stop rockets from being sailed in. And ostensibly, we did supply arms, did the U.S., though officially supporting Israel's moving into Gaza to stop rockets. If you do deeper reading, Obama administration actually aligns with the ideology of Hamas, Qatar, and Turkey against Israel. Do some research. October 8, 2014, the second lunar eclipse on Tabernacles. What was going on then? October 2014, the separation grows between U.S. and Israel over the Iran nuclear talks. U.S. seeks normalized relationships with Iran. What is Iran about, you guys? What does Khomeini say whenever he gets behind a microphone? 2 days ago, by the end of this particular treaty, what is it, 25 years? He quipped, he says one thing in English for the English media. He says another thing in Arabic. He said in Arabic, Israel will not exist in 25 years. November 13th of 2014, ISIS now claims territory in Libya, Egypt, and Algeria and Yemen. December 2014, Netanyahu dissolves his parliamentary government in order to eliminate pro-Obama influences, undermining what he wants to do there in Israel. And then new elections, of course, were then in March of 2015. Also in March 2015, Benjamin Netanyahu gives the Iran nuclear speech to the joint sessions of Congress. How many of you saw that? I wept. As standing in our combined Senate and House chambers was the leader of Israel saying, don't do this. You are practically guaranteeing a nuclear war in the region. Don't do it. Then he looked down the center aisle and his eyes raised up to a medallion that's in the back. And he says, I see that in your chamber, you have a portrait of the lawgiver, Moses. Do you guys see that as far as America goes, that's a little significant?
You've
been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form, or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.